What do you see here, friends? Look at that. Oh my gosh. Those are all gonna be wild muscadine grapes. Just wild food everywhere. So these grapevines are just very bountiful here in Central Texas. Look at that. Going all the way up. Just endless grapes. Hey, Rhody. Hey, come on out. You want some grapes? Rhody's all wet. Come here, Rhody. What do you think about the grapes? You happy? Okay, load up. All right, he didn't want to get on the ground. But man, this is food. These are very high in resveratrol and of course proanthocyanidins in the grape seeds. And I don't know if you can see, but there's vines there that are also just loaded with grapes, and they go all the way over there. This is, you know, a lot of people don't think of this when they hear Texas, but this is Texas, okay? This is spring in Texas, and this is what happens when you don't spray a bunch of toxic poisons all over your ranch. You end up with just food everywhere, and there's acorn trees in here. There's wild onions. There's Nopal cactus in some other spots. Just endless sources of food throughout the year. There's dewberries everywhere. So, folks, if you stop poisoning your land, Mother Nature and God will give you food galore. Thanks for watching.
Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for joining me today. Hope you enjoyed that video about the wild grapes in Central Texas. We're having just the right amount of rainfall this year. And as a result, we've got masses of wild food. Dewberries have been just ripe and ready for picking and eating for a couple of weeks now. And then I saw this just huge grapevine. I'm pretty sure these are called muscadine grapes. Although, I don't know, locals tend to just have five different names for every food item that they can see. But I was told these are muscadine grapes, and they're really highly acidic, by the way. And they have a very tart flavor. Some people make muscadine grape wine out of it, you know, through fermentation. And it's very high nutrient value is what I know about these grapes. So this year, I'm going to harvest a lot of these grapes and see what I can do with them. I don't know if I want to make like muscadine grape jam with palm sugar or something like that. Muscadine grape dried leathers. I don't know. But we've got to do something. It's just incredible. All this food everywhere. And as I said in the video, the reason we get all this wild food is because we simply don't poison the land. It's very simple. Just stop poisoning it. And, you know, that's a really important theme here today is why can't we stop poisoning the world? You know, with all the toxicity and all the violence and all the bombings and war. And I mean, we have a lot of significant news here today because, of course, Israel is now bombing Rafah. They've begun their siege. And NATO is trying to provoke Russia into a nuclear war. And you know, when it comes down to it, the reason there's so much violence and war is because a few powerful psychotic people in the world are supported by the masses of oblivious, obedient followers. Think about it. In Israel, for example, Netanyahu is a murderous psychopath, but he's supported by about 80% of the Israeli population. They keep him in power. And even if he were to be removed from power, well, somebody else would step in and fill the vacuum who's pretty much the same, because that's what the people demand. The people of Israel, by and large, about four-fifths of them, support genocide. They are complicit in mass murder. So a similar thing is true in America with pushing NATO to try to keep provoking Russia. So a lot of Americans are just like, gung-ho, pro-war, kick-ass, Team America, you know? What was that? That was the movie, right? Team America? America, F yeah, we're here to save the mother effing day, yeah, America. You know, like that's the attitude, right? That's actually from that hilarious movie. But that's the attitude. And so politics becomes an extension of the psychosis of the people. And one of the things that you've probably come to realize, I've realized it too, to my dismay, is that most of the people in the world are mentally ill. That's true across every society. Most people are mentally ill. And it requires checks and balances in society to kind of suppress the mental illness. You know, in other words, to keep the mental illness down, you have to have like a separation of powers as we're supposed to have in the Constitutional Republic. You have to have the rule of law. You have to have a functioning police force. You have to have a functioning court system, for example. You also have to have some basic educational standards that teach values and ethics. And none of those things exist in the West anymore. And as a result, the sort of latent mental illness is emerging across Western populations in particular, but that includes Israel and the United States and Western Europe and so on. There's kind of latent mental illness, which is now threatening the world, threatening the safety of the entire world because of, you know, nuclear weapons and escalation into world war and all of that. Because Western society is losing the moderators of mental illness, is another way to say that. It's losing the governors that used to keep it down. And so that's how we have ended up where we are right now, where now the government itself, whether we're talking about the U.S. government or the Canadian government, the Australian government, New Zealand government, certainly the U.K. government, France, Germany, and so on, are run by psychotic, murderous lunatics who don't recognize anything about the rule of law. And of course, the Israeli government is the best example. They don't recognize any human rights. They don't recognize the rule of law. They don't recognize any morality, values, ethics, honesty, transparency, nothing. It's all about destruction, deception, murder, genocide, suffering. You know, it just takes on different forms. So in the U.S. and in Western Europe, it's about shutting down the energy infrastructure to push people into mass starvation, mass famine, which is being accelerated by the shutting down of all the farms in Europe as well. Well, in Israel, they just have a faster program to cause mass famine, and it's called bombing the smithereens out of Gaza and directly intervening with any kind of food aid shipments and even engaging in missile strikes on the food aid workers to kill them too. So Israel is doing to Gaza, and I've said this before, what the globalists are doing to all of us. It's just that Israel's on an accelerated schedule. They're really in a hurry to carry out genocide on a much faster scale than what the globalists are doing, which is more of a, you know, a couple of decades of a plan, right? To exterminate most of the human race by the year, maybe, I don't know, 2050 or it seems like the year keeps changing. They have accelerated it, but you get the idea. Israel's like, do it next week. The globalists are like, do it in a decade or two, you know? But it's the same plan. It's the exact same plan, just takes on different forms. So there was some very significant news involving Russia and Israel today. So let's start with Russia, actually, because to set the context here, understand that the UK, well, let me back up. So the UK and France and Germany are, of course, run by just outrageously insane lunatics. And that's true among nearly all countries of Western Europe. But the UK had recently told Kiev, or Zelensky, that, hey, you can use the UK missiles, the Storm Shadow missiles, to strike targets deep within the mainland of Russia. Now, these Storm Shadow missiles, I don't recall the range, but it's much farther than the ATACMS missiles, for example. And the Storm Shadow missiles have done a lot of damage in Russia. I know they've destroyed at least one docked naval vessel, maybe a couple, but they've hit some targets deep within Russia. And the UK is trying to proclaim publicly that, hey, we're not at war with Russia. We're just giving Ukraine missiles and telling them, why don't you use them to strike targets, you know, in Moscow or wherever. So Russia today summoned both the ambassador of the UK and the ambassador of France to a meeting at the Kremlin. I think it happens at the Kremlin, or anyway, in Moscow, wherever they meet. And Russia gave these two countries an ultimatum. Now, let's start with the UK ultimatum here, because Russia read the UK ambassador the riot act, basically, and said, okay, all right, if you British lunatics want to give your missiles to Ukraine to strike targets deep within Russia, then what we're going to do as Russians, we're going to consider all British military personnel and assets to be legitimate targets, no matter where they are on the planet, including in the UK. So, I mean, you can imagine how this conversation might have gone down, right? It's like the British ambassador, probably his face turned white. I mean, even whiter than British white, like super white, super Nordic British white, whatever that looks like, all the blood drained out of his face. And he was probably, you know, taking advantage of the diapers he had put on before he went over there. Basically, Russia told the UK that we're going to bomb your cities. Maybe we're just going to bomb London. Maybe we're going to bomb, you know, military bases across the United Kingdom. Maybe we're going to nuke your cities, huh? Ooh, that's a possibility. Who knows? I don't know exactly what was said. But according to reports out of Russia, quote, Moscow will retaliate against British targets in Ukraine or elsewhere if Kiev uses the UK-provided missiles to strike Russian territory. Ambassador Nigel Casey was summoned to the ministry following remarks by British Foreign Secretary David Cameron to Reuters that Ukraine has the right to use long-range missiles to strike deep inside Russia. So, first of all, by the way, always be concerned about anybody named Nigel, okay? Just as a rule of thumb, Nigel Casey. I mean, I should say any British white guy named Nigel, okay? There's a red flag in there somewhere. Quote, Casey was warned that the response to Ukrainian strikes using British weapons on Russian territory could be any British military facilities and equipment on the territory of Ukraine and beyond. Like, to infinity and beyond, right? So the Russian Foreign Ministry said that in a statement. And of course, beyond means anywhere on the planet. So this is going to get interesting. Because you know that Kiev, or Zelensky, is not going to hold back on using those missiles because they need the propaganda narrative victory. Because they need to be able to say, oh, we successfully struck a target, you know, in St. Petersburg or in Moscow or wherever the missiles can reach, okay? Or we hit another naval vessel in port. And so, you know, Zelensky needs the propaganda victory, but the UK is now probably regretting sending Storm Shadow missiles. I don't know how many they've sent. Maybe it's only, you know, six or a dozen. Who knows? Maybe they only have a couple left. It's not clear. But Russia basically just read the UK the Riot Act. So, of course, Kiev is going to use these missiles to hit targets deep within Russia. Of course they are. Russia is basically just giving the UK a heads up and sort of putting on the record the justification for why Russia is going to bomb Britain, maybe London, maybe other cities. When that happens, with probably thermobaric bombs or who knows what, maybe not nuclear weapons, because that would be highly, you know, escalatory. Nobody wants that. But I can see Russia launching thermobaric long-range missiles at various military bases and saying, well, we warned you. We told you this is what we're going to do. And then you didn't stop Kiev from using the Storm Shadow missiles. And now you can't just stand back and say you're not at war with us when you're providing the weapons that Kiev is using to strike, you know, to strike targets deeper than Russia. So yes, you are at war, you, the UK, you are at war with Moscow. And so we're gonna retaliate against you and consider all of your cities and all your military bases and all your military personnel to be legitimate targets. So what I wonder is what the leaders of the UK are going to say when there's a giant Russian missile strike that kills like 500 British soldiers and commanders and like blows all the fake medals off their chest, like ribbons and medals go flying in all directions. It'd be like the first time any of those commanders ever earned any medals. First time they ever saw any action and actually did anything in the military was when their medals got blown off their chest as their bodies were also ripped to shreds by Russian bombs. You know, it's like, oh, you finally earned at least one of those medals. Wow, good job. You were in the right place at the right time to actually serve your country and die for your country. Oh. So, I mean, I know I'm saying this with a sense of like morbid satire, but that's what Russia's going to do. So I'm just saying, don't be surprised when that happens. Don't be surprised when targets in Britain start exploding, like big time. And Britain starts having thousands of deaths. Of course, that would invoke Article 5 of the NATO Convention, you know? Well, that means all the other NATO nations have to respond. Okay, with what? with what? U.S. is out of ammo, U.K. is out of ammo, France is out of ammo, Germany's out of ammo. U.K., their tanks suck, Germany's tanks suck. Do the French have tanks? If they do, they suck. What are you gonna retaliate with? I mean, Poland's got a military. Poland's probably the most prepared. But Poland doesn't want to be nuked by Russia either. So the bottom line is, Russia just laid out the rules here, and you're going to see over the next few weeks, you're going to see the UK cross that red line, and you're going to see Zelensky use those missiles to strike targets deep within Russia anyway, because Ukraine is getting pressured from the West, and so is the UK, pressure from America. The United States of America wants Europe to fight as a proxy against Russia. So let me back up. The U.S. used Ukraine to try to weaken Russia by sacrificing hundreds of thousands of young Ukrainian men in this battle, in this fight. And they even bragged about it. You heard these U.S. politicians and also European politicians say, oh, this is the best deal ever. All we have to do is send weapons, and Ukraine's men are doing the dying, not us, so this is a good deal for us. They actually say that. I mean, so unbelievably anti-human, completely insensitive. But the U.S. sees all of Western Europe in the same light. The U.S. sees Western Europe as just a bigger proxy to go to war with Russia. And remember, the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipeline in order to weaken Western Europe's economy and to also destroy Western Europe's industry so that the U.S. could compete more favorably as sort of the last man standing, right? As a result, though, the U.S. is trying to push Europe into this war with Russia, into an escalating, even a nuclear war, because Biden needs a big emergency back home in order to suspend the elections, declare martial law, and say, oh, we're in a war. We're in a world war. It's a nuclear war. We can't have elections, just like Zelensky did in Ukraine. We can't have elections. That's why his term has expired. He's no longer officially the president. He's a military dictator, and that's what Biden wants to be. That's the setup, is to make Biden a military dictator. And that's how they plan to not have Trump win the election. They just plan to not have an election. See? Very simple little plan there. But of course, you know, probably a billion people will die in the world, but hey, that doesn't matter to, you know, the power-hungry neocons as well as the Democrats and, you know, all the power-hungry bureaucrats in Europe. They don't care. They lose a billion people. Whatever. They want to achieve depopulation anyway. They think it's good for the planet. So there's nothing stopping them from this. So the U.S. wants to see Russia attack the U.K. or to attack France. And we'll talk about France here in a second because a similar thing is going on there. Actually, let's jump to that right now. So at the same time the UK ambassador was summoned, the French ambassador was also summoned to a meeting. And of course, the same kind of explanation was given to France. Basically, hey, if you think you're going to send a bunch of French soldiers to fight against Russia, you know, send them to Ukraine, then we, Russia, are going to start bombing French cities. Okay, because you can't pretend like you're not at war with us when you're actually sending troops, which France is doing. At least they're sending the French Foreign Legion troops, reportedly. And that'll probably escalate to Frenchman troops, you know, France's French troops, okay? And whatever Russia said to the French ambassador scared the bejesus out of him, it seems. Because a few hours later, Macron held a joint press conference with Chinese President Xi and said that France doesn't want regime change in Russia, after all. Uh-huh. And he also said that he wants China to stop selling any arms or components to Russia or providing any aid to Russia. So this is France trying to pull a USA to run around the world and tell people who they're allowed to sell to, by the way. But he backed off regime change for Russia. And he said that the West, quote, does not have a common goal to bring about regime change in Moscow. Now, of course, the West wants regime change in Moscow. That's been the whole point. That's a Victoria Nuland special right there. That was the whole point of the CIA organizing the coup in Ukraine in 2014. That was the whole point of training up the Ukrainian military and, you know, moving more missiles closer to Russia's borders and also bringing Ukraine into NATO eventually. That's the plan and so on. The whole point was regime change in Russia and also to try to cause like civil unrest and uprisings in Russia, hoping that the people of Russia would overthrow Putin. And then the West would swoop in like they do over and over again all over the world and steal Russia's resources and get the gas and get the oil and get the minerals. Oh, woo, we looted Russia. Good, didn't we? Yeah, America, F yeah. You know, that again, that's the attitude, right? But in any case, France is now backing off of this. So he had, you know, a few days ago, he had said, oh, he's going to send more troops to Ukraine. And he thinks NATO troops should be deployed. And he said that, you know, we have to because Ukraine is very close to us. And we can't let Russia's power get close to us without defending ourselves by fighting Russia. Which, in a funny way, Macron just sort of confirmed the argument of Putin of why Russia needed to attack Ukraine. Because that's what NATO and the West was doing to Russia by expanding troops and missiles and power into Ukraine. So Macron just, you know, again, basically, he just pointed out why Putin launched the SMO back in 2022. So Russia had been calling Macron's speech, quote, belligerent rhetoric, and warning that his talk would only lead to further escalation. But then whatever was said today, France has apparently backed off of it. By the way, there was a Ukrainian man who was arrested in Ukraine trying to flee the country dressed as a woman. And, you know, they captured him. And I don't know if they're going to throw him in prison or what they're going to do. But I was thinking, gosh, shouldn't they make him the new president of Ukraine? I mean, that's a Western value. A man dressed as a woman? Oh my gosh, he should run the country. You know, Zelensky, his days are numbered. He should be discarded, right? Take this guy who dresses up as a woman. And I guess he was like jogging across the countryside with fake boobs and everything. That doesn't sound comfortable. He was 44 years old. He was trying to cross into Romania. Said that he was wearing a skirt, an unpretentious fashion bow, makeup, and a wig. See? And he could still run across the countryside in a skirt with fake boobs. Now, that takes courage right there. That's leadership. They should make him the president, the new president. I mean, after all, another transgender for NATO, right? It's a perfect fit. And then all the West can get behind him. More money, billions for the tranny. Yeah, it's like, oh, now that they're transgender, you can't criticize them. Just like you can't criticize Zionists, right? By the way, one more thing in all of this is that Putin ordered a drill of Russia's nuclear weapons in its southern military district right next to Ukraine. So this drill is going to take place over the next few weeks, and the purpose is to iron out the practical aspects of the preparation and deployment of non-strategic nuclear weapons in order to ensure the integrity and sovereignty of Russia, according to the Russian Defense Ministry. So let's see, they've got tactical nuclear warheads with yields up to 50 kilotons, which is about triple the size of the atomic weapons dropped on Hiroshima. Those can be fired from the Iskander complex. And let's see, similar warheads can also be carried, it says here, by the Kinzhal, which is a hypersonic cruise missile, and the KH-32 cruise missiles that are carried by Russian bombers. And Russia also has nuclear artillery rounds, by the way, that have a nuclear detonation in the 2 to 2.5 kiloton range. And those fit inside 152-millimeter shells. Wow, that's compact. And a 240-millimeter mortar round. Boy, I don't know. Can you get far enough away from that? It's like, I don't know. What's the range on a 152-millimeter artillery shell? Well, I suppose it's a 2-kiloton nuke, which is very small on the spectrum of nuclear weapons, but it's still a nuke, you know, it's still a giant mushroom cloud. Oh, there goes London. Oh, my God. What happened to the British? There goes Paris. Oh my gosh, Macron, you didn't listen. You just had to be all arrogant. Giant mushroom clouds over European capitals. Yeah, that day's probably coming, because Western Europe and the West in general is so full of crap, and they have been since the end of World War II. In fact, I was actually going to, pardon my profanity, but I was actually going to call today's episode America's Bull Empire, because it's been nothing but bull for decades. You know, fake economic numbers, fake elections, fake news, fake currency. Basically, America has been bull its way around the world, like weaponizing the currency and threatening everybody and sailing around these outdated aircraft carriers, just bull everybody with this projection of power. But I decided not to name it that because of the profanity involved. Nevertheless, that's the truth about where the West is right now. It's like, it just, it can't do anything on its merits. It has to just BS its way around the world and threaten and coerce everybody and use assassinations and regime change and CIA operations and so on. But you know what's not bullshit? Nuclear weapons. Because when that giant mushroom cloud goes, there's not much you can say about it. You can't like run a press release and say, oh, it's not that bad. Run a press release. Well, crazy windstorm strikes London with weird clouds. You know, I mean, I can just see the Western press try to spin it like a nuke never happened, you know? Or they would say, oh, there was an explosion of like sewage pipes for some reason, methane gas explosion under the streets of London, and it produced this thing that looks like a mushroom cloud from a nuke, but it's not really. Don't believe Russia. Russia's all lying. There's no nuclear detonation happening. That was a sewage explosion. I mean, that was probably all the gas from the sewage, the biosludge, just coming out of Parliament right there. You know, so much gas, it just ignited, kaboom, blew up the whole Parliament building and Big Ben and shut down half the city, you know. And don't worry about the fake news reporting radiation fallout. That's just fake news, yeah. We believe in science. The science says everything's good because they turn off all the sensors, you know, like they did in Fukushima. run around reporting that our sensors haven't reported any excess radiation. And then behind the scenes, because they're off. We turn them off. Oh, that's why they're not reporting. Huh. Amazing how that works. If you turn off the sensors, everything's fine. By the way, the U.S. reportedly has about 180 tactical nuclear bombs stationed at 6 bases across Europe. It says here, 2 in Italy, 1 in Belgium, 1 in Germany, 1 in the Netherlands, and 1 in Turkey. Wow, really? The U.S. has nuclear weapons in Turkey? Yes, that's true. Probably won't be U.S. weapons for long, but, when Turkey just says, hey, they're ours now. The question is, do any of the U.S. nuclear bombs even work? I'm not sure that they do because, well, you know, they're obsolete. And increasingly, U.S. weapons, they're so far behind the curve, it doesn't matter if they launch them anyway. You know, Russia has anti-air defense systems that can also intercept incoming ballistic missiles. So, yeah, the U.S. can launch nukes at Russia, but the U.S. doesn't have hypersonic missiles. So a lot of those nuclear missiles will be intercepted by Russia, whereas whatever Russia launches, especially on the Kinzhals, will not be stopped. And I ask you, what a 2.5 kiloton nuclear bomb, if it detonates over London, how much damage would that do? I mean, it wouldn't destroy the entire city, by the way, not by long shot, but it would get noticed. It would definitely get noticed. It's like, knock, knock, who's there? Mushroom cloud. Oh. Now let's move over to Israel. And we've got a story out of Middle East Eye. Israel carpet bombs Rafah after Hamas accepts ceasefire proposal. So there was a ceasefire proposal that was negotiated by the USA. And eventually Hamas decided to accept it. Israel said no. We don't want to accept it. And then Israel just began carpet bombing Rafah. Now, Rafah is in the southwestern, well, very much southern, but a little bit west part of Gaza. And remember that as Israel was bombing northern Gaza, they told everybody to evacuate to the south. And so, you know, over 1 million people moved to the south. And most of them ended up in Rafah. And then Netanyahu, being the murderous, satanic psychopath that he is, decides to attack Rafah. Well, the U.S. is not supporting this attack, by the way. The U.S. is desperate to stop this escalation because, of course, Joe Biden continues to be hurt in the polls as Israel just acts like a complete lunatic. So there was a bombing of Rafah and then ground advances and so on. 1.5 million displaced Palestinians are there, hit with airstrikes and heavy artillery shelling. Several Palestinian news outlets have been reporting on the attacks and reconnaissance drones. Let's see, Israeli military vehicles advancing toward Rafah, which is also the crossing with Egypt. So, by the way, Israel has lost this war. Israel did not destroy Hamas. Israel's lost something like 1,000 armored vehicles, I mean, tanks and otherwise, in this fight so far. The Palestinians are still alive, still defending themselves, and Israel has lost its global reputation. Anybody who has a brain is now speaking out against Israel. And those who are still defending the Zionists are themselves Zionists, you know, the Ben Shapiros of the world, who have no morals, no values whatsoever, except, you know, death and destruction at the hands of the Zionists. But everybody else who is paying attention knows that Israel is an evil regime carrying out genocide. The ICC is reportedly on the verge of issuing arrest warrants for Netanyahu, which he says he will ignore if those are issued, by the way. And Israel appears to be wanting to invoke war on three fronts simultaneously. They want to have war in Rafah, as we're seeing right now, that has begun. They want to have a war with Hezbollah in Lebanon. And then they also want to have a war with Iran. And they hope to bring the United States into all of these wars, especially with Iran. And then you've got the lunatic neocons in the U.S. that have been wanting to bomb Iran for decades, you know? So they're looking for any excuse to do that. But Joe Biden keeps getting hammered in the polls. Right now, it's not looking good for him, and the student protests are drawing a lot of attention to the truth about what's happening in Gaza to the Palestinian people. And today's youth, they don't get their news from controlled sources like New York Times and Washington Post and NPR. They get their news from, you know, TikTok and Instagram and Telegram and independent media by and large, which is why, of course, the U.S. Congress voted to ban TikTok. It's to protect Israel. That's the number one reason. It's got nothing to do with China. It's all about protecting Zionism and the genocide, the murderous agenda of the Zionists. Because half of the U.S. Congress are also all in bed with the Zionists. Well, more than half. So Joe Biden is in quite a quagmire here. Well, the people running him. They need Israel to back down, stop bombing civilians, so that Biden could maybe, you know, cool down the domestic situation and stop the student protests. And maybe by Election Day, people will forget about all this because, you know, Americans have a short memory. But that's not what's happening. Israel wants to escalate in order to force the U.S. to enter the war. But every time Israel escalates, Joe Biden loses more in the polls. And what we're finding out, by the way, is that the U.S. is becoming an authoritarian Zionist dictatorship. Because Congress, passing the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, is on the path of criminalizing any speech that criticizes Israel. So it's a Zionist dictatorship, right? And that's what's happening at the college campuses, the universities, Columbia in particular, but others across America, where the wealthy Jewish donors who fund these universities are calling them up and screaming and saying, we're not going to give you any more of our, you know, rich Jewish money if you don't clamp down on these protesters. And so that's why some of these universities, or most of them, are really clamping down, because they need Jewish money. Which just tells you, by the way, you can protest anything on campus. You can burn the American flag. You can, you know, because some students do that. You can protest Trump. You can protest the Second Amendment. You can protest the Constitution. You can't protest against Israel because the Zionists are in charge of the money that funds the universities, you see. And the Zionists run the police, like the New York Police Department, which actually stands for, you know, NYPD is Netanyahu Police Department, as I said last week. So that's the truth about what's going on. In other words, Netanyahu's interests and Joe Biden's interests are not the same. Netanyahu wants to escalate and force the U.S. into the war. Joe Biden wants to de-escalate and try to save or salvage his poll numbers so that they might have a chance at beating Trump. But just in case that doesn't work, the U.S. is pushing Europe into a nuclear war with Russia, which would give Biden and the Democrats the ultimate opportunity to cancel the election and then that way stay in power themselves. But the U.S. State Department is not happy with Israel right now, and Israel is making a massive mistake. Student protests will now increase, not decrease, and they will extend out beyond the campuses. In fact, some of the protesters are not even students. They're just adults who are gathering on campus, right? And don't believe what all these conservative media outlets are saying, that, oh, it's all coordinated by George Soros, it's all funded by Soros. That's not true. Soros is no doubt latching on to this and adding to it. I have no doubt that that's the case. But the original student protests were organic and spontaneous and run by students who have a legitimate grievance against the genocide carried out by Israel. You notice how all this reporting about the student protesters never asks, like, why are they protesting? What happened in the world that motivated them to protest? They never report that. New York Times never reports it. Washington Post, and so on. They just talk about the students are anti-Israel. The students are filled with hatred. They're just like, as if one day all the students in America just woke up and suddenly hated Jews or something. That's crazy. That didn't happen. Most of the protesters are Jews. I mean, yeah, there are plenty of Islamic people too, but a lot of the protesters are Jewish who are tired of what Israel is doing in the name of Judaism. You know, they're like, hey, not in our name. You don't speak for all Jews. And that's true. So the protest can't be anti-Jewish when so many of the protesters are themselves Jewish. But you're going to see this spread. So here's what's going to happen. Because Israel is attacking Rafah, you're going to see now more interruptions of traffic. You're going to see protests on bridges. You're going to see protests at government buildings. You're going to see protests, of course, on campus, but also off campus. And these protests are going to be larger and larger. And for me, I'm looking at this. I'm like, hey, if this defeats Joe Biden, you know, go for it, right? I mean, as long as it's nonviolent, I don't support violent protesting, but very large, organized, peaceful protests, yeah, march around the city peacefully, you know? I'm all good with that, especially since you're protesting genocide. If there was anything to ever protest against, it should be genocide. So you should expect a lot more interruptions and disruptions all across the cities of America. And, you know, by the way, some people keep saying, well, oh, these students, they don't know what they're doing. They're just all brainwashed. And yeah, look, the universities mostly teach wokeism and victimization. That's true. But these students, I mean, think back when you were that age, when you were in your early 20s, did you know everything that was going on? No. Did you join any protests that, looking back, you're like, that was stupid? Yeah, probably. I mean, I remember when I was in college, I thought Bill Clinton was awesome. You know, I didn't join any protests. We didn't have any protests going on that I knew about. But I thought the Democrats were pretty awesome back then because, you know, the Republicans had Bob Dole. Come on. I mean, it's like Tales from the Crypt, you know, versus Bill Clinton, who can play the saxophone. So who are you going to choose if you're a young kid, right? We can excuse the students for not having life experience yet. Yeah, some of them are kind of whiny, like, oh, we're going to shut down university and you got to give us all kinds of organic food. Otherwise, we'll starve, bring us food. You know, it's funny, but they're kids. You know, they're young. They don't have the life experience. They don't have the wisdom. You know who we can't excuse? Are the university administrators and law enforcement, the police decision makers, the police captains, and also the members of Congress who are calling for police assaults on the students. Those are the people, those adults who should know better. Those are the ones that we should be condemning. I'm fine with letting the students camp out on campus in their tents. As long as they're nonviolent, go for it. Camp out for 90 days and, you know, and raise your voice and draw up a bunch of posters and walk around. So what? What we can't excuse is the police brutality. The people pushing that should know better. U.S. Congress should know better. University administrators should know better. So keep that in mind. You got to have a little bit of leeway for youth to act out their passion. And you got to give it to these student protesters. They're passionate about defending innocent people who are being bombed to death, which I understand because I don't want innocent people to be bombed to death either. I mean, genocide is wrong. Genocide against the Palestinians is happening right now. It's being pushed by Israel. The students are right to protest it. They're absolutely right to protest it. Now, do they sometimes say silly things and act in stupid ways and get caught on camera saying, why are we here? What? You know, yeah, because they're 22, you know? What were you doing when you were 22? You're probably vomiting beer in a gutter after a party, right? What were you doing when you were 22? None of us knew then what we know now. And all of us learn over time. And a lot of these students, you know what they're learning? They're learning that it's all a big lie. That these students are getting red-pilled. Think about it. They were taught at their universities. They were taught that, oh, the government had to crack down on the J6 protesters because the J6 protesters were mean and they believed in America and Trump. And that's the only reason that they were arrested and incarcerated, But here in America, we're liberal democracy, and we believe in civil rights, and we believe in equality, and like that's what all the students learned, right? Now, they're realizing it's all bullshit. Yeah, this is the red pill moment for the students across America, where they're suddenly realizing it was all a lie, everything they've been taught in the university. Oh, that America is a place that respects your freedom of speech and your freedom of opinion because we're a liberal democracy. We're progressive. Yeah, we're advanced. Yeah, all bullshit. You're being brutally assaulted and beaten by cops because you're trying to speak out against the innocent killing of women and children in Gaza. What does that say about America? This is the best education these students could ever get. This is worth tuition. I mean, forget about all the brainwashing and social justice warrior crap that they were taught in class. This is the best education they will ever get. And it's going to bring a lot of those students to our side. And by our side, I mean the side of the awakened, the people of truth, the people who are red-pilled, people who know what's going on in the world. There's nothing like being beaten by cops to challenge your distorted worldview. And that's what's happening. These people are waking up all battered and bruised and thinking, wait a second, what just happened? You know, hey, welcome to the club. You've been lied to. You've been lied to. Yeah. America's not a free country. You don't have the right to speak. And so if you really want to make a change, you need to get on board with the reality of what's actually happening and spread the truth with other people. Use alternative media, use alternative communications networks, make your voice be heard, and stop trusting the establishment because the establishment wants to kill you. See? This is an incredible moment for students. It's actually a great awakening. And you know how during the Trump years, there were a lot of like Black Lives Matter protests. But the BLM groups, they couldn't point to any, there wasn't like a mass hanging of black people happening, you know? I mean, yeah, they could find an image of a noose if they really, really used their imagination. They found like at NASCAR, there was a garage door for like a maintenance bay for the cars, and the garage door had a little rope, a little string, like a cord. And at the end of the cord, somebody had tied a knot because that's what you need at the end of a cord if you're going to pull down on it so you don't it doesn't slip out of your hand. And then they took a picture. It's a noose. That's a noose. NASCAR is trying to like lynch black people. So, yeah, black people in America, they had to make up all the crimes, all the race crimes, because they couldn't point to any actual violence that was being carried out against tens of thousands of black people. But when it comes to Zionism in Gaza, you know, kaboom, carpet bombing Rafah right now. 35,000 Palestinians have been killed, 70% of whom are women and children. There's no mistaking that this is a kind of Holocaust. This is a genocide taking place right now. You don't have to make up fake, you know, race hate hoaxes. All you have to do is turn on, you know, Telegram and you can see 1,000 videos every day of like bleeding dead babies with body parts blown off in the rubble of Gaza. If you want to, I can't handle watching that stuff, but all those videos are out there because this is what Israel is doing in reality. Whereas the Black Lives Matter groups had to make up all their crimes, you know, against black people. They had to make it up. They had to even paint swastikas on their own dorm rooms, right? They had to carry out, you know, race baiting hoaxes all the time. The Palestinians don't have to hoax anybody. This thing's real. And if there's a hoax at all, it's the hoax that Israel is still engaged in self-defense. Really, what a hoax. And Netanyahu claims this every day. It's like, how dare the ICC try to issue arrest warrants against us? We're defending ourselves against terrorists who are trying to carry out a genocidal Holocaust against us. That's what Netanyahu says. Yeah, with a straight face, even as he is carrying out genocide and a Holocaust of sorts against the Palestinian people, he still claims it's self-defense. So how many more thousand Palestinians will Israel kill and still claim it's self-defense? This is not self-defense. This is not about getting rid of Hamas. This is about, as Israel calls it, mowing the lawn, but on a bigger scale. Mowing the lawn means just killing off a bunch of Palestinians. They do that every few years. They call it mowing the lawn because this is how evil they are. But now this is, they want to exterminate. This is the final solution. And I use that term deliberately. This is Israel's final solution against the Palestinians. This is straight up ethnic cleansing, crimes against humanity. And yet there are still people defending it. And there are still universities defending it. And there are still members of Congress defending it. Even Jim Jordan, who I always thought he was a good guy in Congress, he's all in with the Zionists. Yeah. Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, you know, Ron DeSantis, Florida, and Trump himself. You realize if Trump becomes president, we'll probably be living under an authoritarian Zionist dictatorship. No exaggeration. You won't have any freedom of speech. Everything will be controlled by the Zionists. Whatever they demand is what will happen. They will control the police. They will control the White House. They will control Congress. They already do. They'll control the military, everything. Everybody will answer to the Zionists. And we'll end up in World War Z. Z for Zion. From the website antiwar.com, World Food Program Director Cindy McCain says Northern Gaza experiencing full-blown famine. And this is a result of the U.S.-backed Israeli blockade and bombing campaign. She is the widow, of Senator John McCain. I'm just realizing that. That guy was a Ziocon himself. Man, I wonder what Cindy McCain is thinking, knowing that her husband would have pushed Israeli bombing of the civilians, and now there's full-blown famine. She says, quote, "What I can explain to you is that there's famine, full-blown famine in the north, and it's moving its way south. And so we're asking for, we've asked for a ceasefire and the ability to have unfettered access. Humanitarian organizations have not officially declared famine, but McCain reaffirmed her view that there was already a full-blown famine when asked by the hosts. It's horror, she says. It's, you know, it's so hard to look at, and it's so hard to hear also." So, you know, isn't it interesting that these Zionists in America, like Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin and so on, they have access to food, plenty of food. And apparently they feel nothing for the people who are starving to death in Gaza. And that could end up being, you know, 2 million people facing famine. And then how many will start to die each day while Netanyahu and the Zionists cheer? I wonder, will Ben Shapiro cheer children dying from mass starvation looking like concentration camp victims? Because Gaza is a giant open-air concentration camp, let's be honest. And the food aid is not getting in on purpose, all by design, because this is an ethnic cleansing campaign. And Israel has become the most evil nation on the planet today. And Netanyahu, the most egregious war criminal alive today. And by the way, no matter who gets elected, no matter who gets elected this November, they're all Zionists, except Jill Stein, probably not. She's the anti-war candidate, as I understand it. But Trump, all in with the military, all in with the Zionists. Biden, you already know. Genocide Joe. RFK Jr., all in with the extreme, extreme right-wing Zionist Likud party money people. RFK Jr. is totally consumed by the Zionists at this point. Can't support him. And can't support Trump either, and can't support Joe Biden. So beware of what's coming. I may have mentioned this before, but Jim Mars told me before he died a couple of years ago, and he used to quote me a lot in his books, by the way, and he would call me and ask me for my analysis of things, and we would chat. Jim Mars is one of the great journalists of our time. And he wrote some extraordinary books. And Jim Mars told me, he said that he feared that what was coming for America was an extreme right-wing fascism. And I always thought, that's crazy. The right wouldn't push fascism. The right is pro-liberty. You know, the right wing party, at least I believe this, and until October 7th, supported freedom of speech and the right to self-defense with firearms, you know, Second Amendment and liberty principles and all these things. And what we've come to realize is that the right in America is pretty much tied in with the far right in Israel, which is linked to a bunch of extremist, violent, murderous lunatics. And that's why so many members of the GOP are completely beholden to Israel's interests. And so what Jim Mars warned me about, there's actually a scenario where that comes true now, where Trump gets elected, and then the Zionists control everything in America, the universities, the media, the banks, and they just start deplatforming everybody who's critical of Israel, right? And they tell Congress what laws to vote for, and then they pass a law that criminalizes any criticism of Israel, and they just run around arresting people. And you can see, I mean, did you know, for example, at Columbia University, one of the professors there was an undercover police officer working as a spy for the New York Police Department, but as a professor at the same time, spying on her own students there and then reporting students to the NYPD. Did you know that? And then directing the NYPD raids in part with some strategic information. So you already have Zionist spies in the universities in America. Yeah, that's already here. Done deal. How many Zionist spies are in other universities and keeping an eye on the students? And, you know, Congress is about to pass a bill that would create what anti-Semitic monitors at the universities and colleges across America. So you would have a Zionist enforcer. Yeah. So any speech critical of Israel, you'd be reported and probably then beaten by police. So that's coming to America. That's the kind of thing that Jim Mars was warning me about, which I thought was impossible. Again, until October 7th. Amazing what Hamas unleashed in the world, isn't it? It's not that Hamas didn't do much damage at all, relatively speaking, compared to what's happened since then. I mean, Hamas maybe killed a few hundred Israelis, and the rest of them were killed by the IDF, by the way. You know, the Israeli military shot their own people to prevent them from being taken hostage. They did that on purpose with the helicopter gunships. They're just shooting up all the Israeli vehicles, killed, you know, 700 or 800 Israeli citizens. Hamas didn't do that much damage. It's Israel that's doing the damage. It's Israel that's destroying the First Amendment in America. You notice that? Hamas didn't destroy the First Amendment. Hamas didn't destroy free speech on campus. It's Israel that's doing that. And the Zionists that advocate for Israel, that's who's destroying America. The Zionists, not Hamas. Hamas mostly operates in the Middle East. Now, granted, there could be some Hamas extremists that made it into the U.S. and could be planning on carrying out acts of terrorism, you know, domestically in the U.S. But for the most part, Hamas operates in the Middle East, you know, out of Gaza. But the Zionists operate all over the United States. The Zionists carry out acts of violence through the police proxies against students and against professors in America. Hamas didn't attack America. Zionists attacked America. We are under a state of war. We are being besieged by Zionist enforcers, Zionist spies, Zionist run police, Zionist Congress, Zionist, you know, intelligence agencies. That's who's attacked America. And then the wealthy Jewish donors, they just want more Zionism, right? More Zionism is the answer somehow. So we could very easily find ourselves living under this hellish, fascist, far-right, Zionist theocracy dictatorship that Jim Mars warned me about in a private conversation years ago. Something to consider. And the bottom line is that if Zionists get their way, America will be destroyed. Not just Gaza, not just Palestine, but America. Because America can't exist without freedom of the press. And what did Israel do? No, they raided the offices of Al Jazeera, confiscated all their computers and equipment and hard drives and shut it down. No freedom of the press in Israel. And they said, oh, well, Al Jazeera is, you know, aiding the enemy. What, by reporting things that you don't like to hear? Yeah. Well, I bet you the Democrats in America would love the same kind of justification. Shut down all independent media because they're critical of the government, you know? Oh. You hear these arguments right now from the Zionists. They say, well, if you criticize Israel, then you're with Hamas, they say. What? No, that doesn't make any sense at all. Or if you criticize Israel, you're anti-Semitic. No. I'm with the Jews that are criticizing Israel. Jews are criticizing Israel. It's not anti-Semitic. It's anti-genocide. Just like, remember during the Obama years, anytime you criticize Obama, what did the left say? Oh, that's racism. You're racist. You're criticizing Obama because he's black. Remember that? You couldn't say anything. Oh, you're racist. No, his policies suck. He's attacking America from within. He's attacking the Second Amendment. It's got nothing to do with race. Now, the same thing is true with Zionism. You criticize Israel with justification. Oh, it's anti-Semitic. No, it's not. Anti-Semitism is the label of the intellectually lazy morons who can't win any arguments, so they just resort to police bullying and censorship and deplatforming. And lawfare, too, by the way. They threaten to sue everybody who criticizes Israel. Apparently, you know, you can be dragged into court for telling the truth about what Israel is doing to women and children in Gaza. Yeah. So that's what America has become now. America is being destroyed by Zionism. And America is being occupied by Zionism. And that's why Zionism, the philosophy, must end. And Jews agree with me on this point. Zionism must end for the Jewish people to be safe, to be okay, to flourish. Zionism must end. Israel must learn the tenets of peace, of coexistence with people. And Israel must learn to recognize Palestine as a legitimate nation. And actually, Israel needs to go back to, I think, the 1967 borders and just say, okay, what Palestine had then, that's Palestine. And what Israel had then, that's Israel. And that's it. But no, they won't do that. They just want to bomb and kill and murder everybody and then silence anyone who speaks out against it. And that's not okay. So the backlash is accelerating. Israel is committing reputation suicide. Netanyahu is taking Israel down the path of its total self-destruction. And I think that Israel will be destroyed in its current location within the next few years because of what Netanyahu and the Israeli people are supporting and what they're doing. And that's just straight cause and effect. That's not an outcome that I want to see, but it's an outcome that Netanyahu has put into motion through his actions. And it's an outcome that's being supported by the Israeli people. I wonder what they will say when the bombs start falling on their cities, huh? And when they have no food. Oh, you'll hear them scream and cry. And, oh, we need food aid now. Oh, now you need food aid. Oh, really? Yeah, guess what? You don't have any friends left. That day's coming. They brought it on themselves. The way to help Jews is to help bring an end to the destructive philosophy of Zionism so that people of Jewish faith can live in peace with people of Muslim faith or Christian faith or Catholic faith or Sikh or Buddhism or what have you, right? That's what we need. We need to be able to live with each other in peace. Israel will not stand for that. And that's why Israel will be destroyed probably in the next few years. All right, that's my podcast for today. I was going to put an interview here, but this topic is so serious today. I don't feel like an interview is appropriate. So I'll save it for tomorrow. I've got a few interviews done. I'm just going to save them. But I do thank you for your support, for your compassion, for your humanity. Understand that everything I say here in these podcasts comes from core principles that are pro-humanity, core principles that are pro-life. I believe in the sanctity and the dignity of human life, and I believe that all human lives are worth protecting. All human lives have value, and I've come to find that that's not a value that's shared by the GOP or the Israeli people or the U.S. Senate or most of the people in the Biden administration, or even, you know, even Trump for that matter. People want to pick and choose what lives that they think are valuable, and they want to discard all the lives, like the Palestinian lives. Just say, ah, well, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just it's only, you know, 25,000 children dying in the rubble in bombs. You know, who cares, they say. And then these same people the next day, they'll come around and say, we need to raise money. Give us donations so we can fight against abortion, because killing unborn babies is wrong. Such hypocrites, right? Killing unborn babies is wrong, but bombing children already born, oh, that's okay. As long as it's being done by the Zionists, you know, it's all good, right? I wonder if they support abortion in Israel. And they claim to be anti-abortion, but if Zionists are aborting Zionist babies, then that's what Zionists want to do, then would the anti-abortion Christian conservatives in America, would they oppose that, or would they be in favor of that? Oh my God, this is like the logic of smoke starts coming out of their ears. Does not compute. Psh, brains explode. You're going to be pro-Zionism, but then they're killing a Zionist baby, and then they're going to be pro-Zionist, but the Zionist wants to kill the baby, and then they're killing so many babies. Psh, that's what would happen. It's much easier to actually have principles. You don't have to try to figure out all the little loopholes and exceptions to this and that. Just have the same universal principles, which is what I operate on. All human lives have value, period. It's always wrong to kill children, period. It's wrong to bomb them. It's wrong to abort them. It's wrong to poison them. It's wrong to vaccinate them and kill them with vaccines. It's the same principle. I don't have to keep track of all these little renditions and variations of what I've said, because it's the same universal principle all the time. I support protecting human lives. I support protecting the innocent, no matter who they are, born or unborn, Islam, Jewish, you know, Catholic, Christian, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever. Same principle. Boom. If only we lived in a world where people like me weren't rare. You know, most of the people that you run into don't have principles. They don't. Most of the people in Congress don't have principles, or they want to pick and choose how they apply them. Oh yeah, they want to get on TV and talk big, like, we need to protect the innocent. Yeah, we got to secure the borders and protect America. And we need to save children from the groomers and the cross-dressers in the public school, but they don't want to save children from being bombed to death by Zionists, you see? So they have no principles. Like I said earlier in today's podcast, the masses of the world are mentally ill. And one of the renditions of that is that most people do not have principles. In fact, let me give you a homework assignment today, okay? I dare you to do this. For people that you know, or that you're meeting, or that you're interacting with, you should ask them this question. Do you have principles? And if they say yes, because everybody says yes, ask them, so what are your principles? Or what are your top three most important principles? Or just your number one principle? What is it? Most people can't answer that question. Did you know that? I know, because I've asked people this. Most people can't answer because they've never thought about principles. And they don't really identify themselves or their actions in the world as being principled. So I dare you, run around and ask people the question, do you have principles? If so, what are they? Name one or two or three. What are the principles? Describe them to me. People can't do it. They don't have any principles. And it would be so easy to answer the question. Yes, I have principles. Okay, what's one principle that you think is important? That the honesty and truth is important. Okay, great. Do you think that the media is honest with you? Do you think your government's honest with you? Do you think that the science is honest with you, right? Ask people what their principles are. You will find out that most people don't have any at all. And instead of having principles, they have tribalism. That's the other end of the spectrum. Tribalism is they're just rooting for whatever tribe they're part of. It's basically just kind of a gang warfare. So the Zionists are the Zion gang. Or the Black Lives Matter activists are the, you know, the black gang. or the globalists are the, you know, the anti-human gang, I guess the transhumanist gang, whatever. They just have loyalties to their gangs. They don't have any principles at all, although they like to pretend they do. So keep that in mind as you interact with people. And thank you for your support. Let me give you a couple of free tools to check out, by the way, you know, in addition to healthrangerstore.com, where you can support us. But also, we've got free tools like Brightown.io, which is a decentralized peer-to-peer, uncensorable free speech network. It's a social media platform, but there are no central servers. It's built on the Bastion platform, which is blockchain-run, decentralized, runs on hundreds, if not thousands, of nodes all over the world. And free speech is an absolute. I can't ban anybody on the platform, by the way. Nobody can. And the servers can't be confiscated because there are no servers. So you want the ultimate in free speech? Brightown.io. And while you're there, by the way, remember that's my backup emergency communications channel in case domain names are taken offline, you know, because the Zionists demand it. Well, they won't be able to take down Brightown.io, so follow me there at HealthRanger. That's my username there, HealthRanger. And then check out Brightown.ai, and that's our AI language model. We've released three models so far. We have some exciting new models coming out soon. We've got a Phi 3 model coming out, which is brand new. And we've got, well, we're doing some training on Llama 3 also, and we've got some major expansions of data sets, including we finished processing about 20,000 articles from Mercola.com. I want to thank Dr. Joseph Mercola for that contribution. He gave us 33,000 articles. We're going to get all those trained in the system. And then also Sayer G from GreenMed Info sent us about 3,000 articles. And we're working on those articles next. Plus, we've got, you know, about 1,200 books that are going into the system. And we are crunching data every single day on dozens of workstations and servers, by the way. And so we're going to be releasing a lot of new models this year. They're all free. They're all non-commercial, freely downloadable, no charge. And you can use them on your own local computer. You just have to run inference software, which is also free. There's instructions you can find on Brightown.ai. And it works on Macs, Windows, and Linux systems, by the way. So check that out. And this is how we're putting knowledge into your hands, free of charge. Again, non-commercial, and you can run those models locally. You don't need anything in the cloud. Nobody's surveilling you. And these models are trained on such great content on food and superfoods, nutrition, permaculture, self-reliance, off-grid living, first aid, natural medicine, all kinds of things like that. So it replaces Google, replaces every search engine. You can just download this tool and run it locally and get all the answers to all these questions. And it can even write for you. It can correct your grammar. It can do all kinds of amazing things. So check that out at Brightown.ai. And remember, we are building the infrastructure of human freedom. And this is one of the ways that we're paying back, paying it forward to the world. This is our contribution to the world through Brightown.ai, Brightown.io, and also Brightown.com, the free speech video platform. And don't forget about Brightown.social, which is our hosted social media platform that's been in place for several years now and has a thriving conversational community with outstanding posts from a great many users. So the whole Brighteon universe has amazing things. Oh, and while we're at it, don't forget to register at brightu.com, which is short for Brighteon University, because we've got the Healing Genesis program from Jonathan Otto begins airing this Saturday, free of charge. One chapter airs each day on a repeated 24-hour loop. You can register and watch the whole thing for free, or you can optionally purchase the whole program and download it and watch it whenever you want and get bonus items and whatever. Anyway, you can sign up at brightu.com. Just register your email address there. And also don't forget that this week, in just 2 days now, we have the release of 17 Miles, the first movie from Brighteon Studios. And you can find out about that film and watch the preview at 17milesmovie.com. I have a cameo appearance in the film. Michael Yon is in the movie. Anne Vandersteel is in the movie. Sheriff Richard Mack is in the movie. It stars Amy Schaffert. And it's a heartfelt, genuine message. It's not a fancy film. Very low budget. $58,000 is all. No special effects. No high paid actors. Nothing. you know, no car chase scenes. No, no. But this is a story about the love between a mother and daughter and escaping human trafficking and escaping kidnappers in Mexico and getting back across the border into the United States. So it's kind of it's a human trafficking adventure that talks about the open borders situation and so much more. Oh, by the way, there's a new president of Panama now. Election just took place on Sunday. I don't have his name in front of me, but this new president says he's going to shut down the Darien Gap, which is what Michael Yan has been warning about all these years, and we've interviewed him about that. Well, this is going to really piss off Alejandro Mayorkas and Homeland Security and the State Department and you know, the whole immigration invasion wave pathway that goes through Panama. Apparently, it's going to be shut down by the president of Panama. No doubt the CIA will try to assassinate him or replace him or threaten him or blackmail him or whatever in order to keep that invasion pathway open, because, you know, they have to invade and destroy the United States. But in any case, there's a new president, and he says he's going to shut down the invasion camps such as San Vicente, that's just north of the Darien Gap there in Panama. Interesting times we're living in, folks. Very interesting times. But thank you for listening today. We've got more coming for you tomorrow, plus new interviews and so much more. I'm Mike Adams. God bless you all. God bless America. Stay safe.
Illegal immigration tends to be financially upward from poorer to richer countries.
With an increased influx of illegal aliens at the border, the Texas governor has called a special session of the Texas legislature.
The Mexican government said Monday it sent more troops to the cartel-dominated western state of Michoacan after a weekend of violence. A
series of armed raids using planes and helicopters.
Just hold out for a minute. This Darien route alone can and will at this rate bring at least 4 million aliens into the United States in 2024. Ultimately, Darien route is the cheapest way I see to move 100 million or more people into the United States.
According to Yan, currently the bus infrastructure.
Where do you see this all going?
Well, I pray to God that we find
it. You don't win the next race. I'll be back. You know what happens to people.
And Rosa and I, we're going to get jobs and we'll have professional.
I'm trusting
career.
You and your cousin to be good people, but I'm seeing on the news that people are getting taken
you
advantage of.
Just got back
of.
From Darien Gap. What's been going on there?
That's the main invasion.
I want to say one piece for the whole family.
One piece for the whole family? That's ridiculous.
It'll be all right, Rosa.
I need your help. I have no idea where I'm going. Julia's been kidnapped.
Mom's gonna be right back. Everything's gonna be okay.
Me and my mom were on a great journey. I can't wait to see America. I really love my mom. I'm so excited to be on this trip with her. I think she's a little scared. My mom doesn't really like change too much. This trip was amazing. So, everybody, stay tuned. More to come.
All right, let's talk about some solutions for preparedness and survival based on what's happening in the world. Things are getting completely out of control, as you know. And some of these are sponsors, some of these are free. I'm going to give you some free tools here as well. First thing, show the camera on my desk here. This is all collapsed currency from all over the world. Trillions of dollars worth of collapsed currency, and then here's fake Hollywood currency of $100 bills. This is all going to zero. I mean, some of this is already zero, but even dollars are going to zero. This is the solution. These are called goldbacks. This is a 50 goldback bill. It's 51/1000ths of an ounce of gold is embedded in the bill. And that's why it's so thick. And they have smaller denominations like the one gold back here. I could hold it right side up. This is 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. And we've done the laboratory testing, and you can find it at our affiliate website called verifiedgoldbacks.com. If you want real physical gold that's highly divisible and has high utility, this is the solution, verifiedgoldbacks.com. And if you scroll through here, you can see all of our lab testing that we did. We actually melted them down, and we did all kinds of tests for the purity and the mass of the gold that's in these bills. And check out the different designs here. Let's see if you can show that. You got different designs of different amounts of gold that are embedded in the bills. There's a 50 that I showed you, and then there's a 25, a 5, a 10, and ones as well. Really an amazing solution. Now, other things to keep in mind. We've got storable food right now at healthrangerstore.com. I've got some on my desk here showing you also the Iosat iodine, the potassium iodide, prevention of the radiation damage to your thyroid. That's all FDA approved there, the Iosat product. We've also got dietary supplement iodine there, as well as the Ranger buckets and various food buckets. We've got the heavy cream, all certified organic, laboratory tested, back in stock, plus the red miso, the yellow miso, and white cheddar cheese powder, which is just pure organic cheddar cheese. No fillers, no colors, no garbage in it of any kind. You can find all of that at healthrangerstore.com. Now, continuing with our topic of preparedness, our sponsor in the satellite phone space is the Satellite Phone Store. You can find them at SAT123.com. Connects you here to the Satellite Phone Store. And these are emergency backup comms devices that work even if the cell towers go down or if the power grid goes down. And they have packages with the bivy sticks, with Faraday bags, and pre-installed software on a mobile device that protects your privacy because it doesn't talk to the cell towers. It just talks through the satellites. You can send and receive text messages, and you can let people know you're okay, or you can have emergency contacts that are successful through that mechanism. Here's something that I don't talk about enough, but there's a company called ShieldArms.com that has a new product, which is the S10 Grip Chop. And as you can see here, this is a chopped off grip of a Glock 43X. Now, show camera one. This is my Glock 43X right here. Let's see if I can get on camera. And so as you can see, the magwell, you know, this is a pretty long designation right here. You know, it can stick out if you're trying to do concealed carry. But if you go to shieldarms.com, they have their Grip Chop S10 firearm, which is available right now. And it's a shorter grip that allows it to be more easily concealed, but yet it takes full-size magazines. And then Shield Arms has their custom steel mags. Actually, that's what I've got right here. This is the Shield Arms magazine. It's vastly superior to Glock mags. It holds more rounds, and it's more durable. So this is the best setup. You can get these mags, and you can get these Grip Chop pistols at shieldarms.com. Of course, all federal laws apply. You have to transfer through an FFL and so on. You know, obey your local and national laws in order to do this. But this allows you to be ultra concealable in carrying this outstanding firearm, the Glock 43X. And I think you can use discount code RANGER there to save 10% off that firearm. They may still have that code active. I'm not entirely sure. Now, continuing with some more preparedness items, right here, Brighteon.ai. This is our free downloadable artificial intelligence language model. We are training this on an extensive amount of information on food, herbs, nutrition, off-grid living, but also survival and preparedness. It's non-commercial, it's open source, it's free to use. You just enter your email address here, click register, and you'll be given access to a download page. And we're releasing new models all the time, including a 7 billion parameter model that is trained on all of this survival and prepping and nutrition content. Nobody else in the world has models like this. In addition, we have a backup comms social media platform that we've just launched called Brighteon.io. And if you go to that website, Brighteon.io, you can sign up. You can see that it's a big social media type of site. The thing is, see, it's got free speech videos. Here's a flat earth video. That's pretty funny. There's all kinds of videos here, all kinds of different viewpoints and opinions. Here's Dave Hodges here with a video. You can go there and you can share videos and content, and there are no central servers. It's all peer-to-peer, decentralized, and it runs on blockchain. And it has its own blockchain coin here, actually called Pcoin, which is modeled after Bitcoin, and it's kind of a reputation coin on the platform. Anyway, you can find out about that. Just go to Brighteon.io. If you download the app and run it, then this will even survive the internet kill switch because it doesn't need to resolve domain names in order to function. So that's Brighteon.io. And then in terms of products that we have, guess what? We also have the knives that we've custom designed with Dawson Knives here. This is one of our combat knives, and they're made with MagnaCut steel, incredibly durable, high Rockwell hardness. They're flexible without shattering. They hold an edge, and they're almost corrosion proof. That's the advantage of MagnaCut steel. So yeah, if you see this, this is, and it's a G10 handle with an oversized finger guard here. This is a really incredible knife. And because it's got three holes here, show camera one, let me show you this. Because it's got these three holes, see if I can get the light just right, yeah. It's got this hole, and then this hole. You can use paracord and you can strap it to a stick and make a spear out of it. So this can be made into a spear relatively easily. We've got multiple knives from Dawson that, of course, I'm the co-designer, and it's got a special wedge end here as well for escape and evasion. We are out of the escape from LA knife, but we do have this Tonto version that we're working on right now that we may come out with. And then we've got some other really amazing. This is, oh, that's another one of our combat knives, but we've got a bushcrafting knife as well that you can check out. Find all that at healthrangerstore.com. Bottom line, folks, we have a lot of preparedness solutions for you. Some of them are free, like Brighteon.ai or Brighteon.io, or you can use Brighteon Social or just Brighteon.com. But, and then some of them, of course, cost money. Like if you're going to get your hands on gold, you know, it's going to cost you. You're going to pay for the gold. Not everything's going to be free, obviously. So iodine, storable food, weapons of self-defense to defend and protect innocent life. These are the kinds of things that we are advocating very strongly right now at this time in history because of what's happening in the world, what's happening with the open borders, where we are domestically with chaos and lawlessness getting worse in most cities across America, more illegals invading more states and counties. So be ready to defend yourself. And then, of course, the collapse of the dollar coming as well. It's accelerating every day. You're seeing it with food inflation. Now, look at the cost of your car insurance, by the way. Look at that. It's skyrocketing. Health insurance, it's all skyrocketing. Things are getting more expensive because your dollar is worth less and less. Meanwhile, gold is absolutely skyrocketing. In fact, let me just bring up where gold is right now. $2,384. Show my screen. I want to show the trend here. If you look at gold prices here, just over, what does that go back to? Like the end of October last year, gold was $1,837. Now it's almost $2,400. Look at that rise right there. Gold is skyrocketing in dollars because dollars are losing value. So people who are smart, who want to maintain their value of gold and silver, well, that's... it's doing exactly what it's designed to do, to hold value. Oh, I should mention, by the way, if you go to metalswithmike.com, this is our gold and silver coin sponsor, the Treasure Island Company, and you go there and you can request to talk with them or you can check their real-time prices right here. They'll give you the price quotes here. You can look at gold coins like U.S. Mint coins, real-time pricing online, and they have discreet, secure, guaranteed delivery, insured. So check them out at metalswithmike.com. They are our gold and silver sponsor for the coins. So those are some of our sponsors, some of the solutions that we offer, some of the free things that are available to you. Whatever you do, you know, make sure that you're getting prepared for what's coming. Grow more food. Save your garden seeds. You know, get more items at the grocery store that you can even stockpile that will last a longer period of time. Try to get out of the dollar into things that will hold value, whether it's gold and silver or something else. Maybe you're going to buy a piece of land. Maybe you're going to stock up on ammo or diesel fuel or you know, something that holds value. But take action now, because the world is becoming more chaotic. Time is running out. Thank you for supporting our sponsors and supporting this platform. We appreciate you. That keeps us going. It allows us to build the free tools that we're giving back to you, such as the AI tools, as well as the Brightown.io platform. But together, we can make it through all this, and then we'll be the ones who get to help, you know, rebuild society on the other side of the collapse of this current system. And it is collapsing. But get prepared now while you can, and thank you for all your support. I'm Mike Adams here of HealthRangerStore.com, as well as Brighteon.com. Take care.